for the good singing here tonight. I tell you, it's already been a good time of fellowship, and look forward to what the Lord has for us. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter number 13, if you would. Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis 13, and look at verse number 10. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." Most of us would be familiar with this passage of Scripture. We don't want to look at just one part of that in verse number 11, where the Bible says, "Then Lot chose." And so let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord, could we ask that you would just bless. Lord, we know that unless you bless the reading of your word, Lord, the message tonight, Lord, we know that it'll all be in vain, Lord. It will be of no value whatsoever. And so, Lord, we'd ask that you would bless, and Lord, we'd ask that you would use the Scriptures tonight as we look at different passages, that, Lord, you would just bless that. Lord, you'd bless the message. Lord, help us all to realize and see how important our choices are. And Lord, how they determine, Lord, a lot of times, Lord, where we're going to end up in life. There's so many things about that. And so, Lord, we'd ask that you would just bless and use it to speak to our hearts, Lord, especially, again, Lord, if there's someone's lost this evening, that Lord, they sure do need to be saved. I pray that you would use the message to speak to their heart about that. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us, like I said, are familiar with this passage of Scripture. And we understand, we know, we realize what was taking place here is Abraham and Lot's herdsmen. They were in conflict with one another. They were fighting one another. They were fighting over the best grassland. They were fighting over the best watering hole, those kind of things. And it came to a point there to where the people around them, all the neighboring people around, looked at them and they saw them and they said, "Hey, what's wrong with these people? Why are they fighting? Why are they feuding over all this land? There's all this land that they could spread out, they could do more with it or whatever, go different places, but they're just fighting over this land, and it doesn't look good. It was a bad testimony." And Abraham said to Lot, he said, "Now, this is not good. This is going on. This is taking place. Not good. Shouldn't have this. Shouldn't have this kind of testimony in this area." And so he said, I want you to pick whichever way you want to go. You can do whatever you want to. God had already given Abraham the land, but he gave Lot the choice. And he said, "Lot, I want you to choose any place you want to. You can go either way you want to go. And whatever way you go, I'll go the opposite way. And we'll part ways here because, we just cannot dwell together here in this land. We need to spread out. We need to move out." And so Lot, the Bible tells us, instead of Lot going, building an altar, finding a place, going off, getting along with God, talking with God about God and praying to God, "God, what should I do here? Where should I go? What decision would you have me to make here?" Lot looked at something and he saw it with his eyes and he said to himself, "You know what? That's how I'm going to make my choice. This is how I'm going to make my decision here." And can I tell you that Lot, just like Lot does, Lot did here, many times we do the same thing. Now we wouldn't admit it and we wouldn't, you know, broadcast it, but most of us, or a lot of us, we look at the circumstances. We look at how things are going to turn out rather than letting God choose for us, letting God decide, and making decisions for us or helping us make decisions, make the right decisions. You know, Lot lifted up his eyes, the Bible said, and his beheld all the plains of Jordan. It was well watered. It was a great place to raise cattle. It was a great place to have a business and make a lot of money. But you know what? We're going to find out and we'll see here. And we know that when Lot made these choices here, it was going to cause him to lose everything in his life. Everything that was precious to him, all the things that he thought were so important, he was going to wind up losing every one of those things or everything that he had. And we'll see that in just a minute. But before we do that, I want us to just think for a minute about some choices that we need to make or choices that we have, that we make and you know, some of these things are important. And let's look at some things to get our mind, so we can get our minds thinking about choices that we make. The first thing I think about when I think about choices, I think about the greatest choice that anybody and everybody has to make. One day they've got to make this choice. You know, many times, you know, they've got to come to a decision on this, and that is the choice of whether to be saved or not. You know, I'll never forget. My mom and dad, they took me to church and raised me. You know, we were raised in church and all that. But you know, my mom and dad were good Christian folks, but that didn't make me a Christian. That didn't make me saved. There come a point in my life when I had to make my own decision whether I would trust Him or not. And you know what? Every one of us in here tonight have to make that same decision. Now, many of us have already made that decision, and we've said, yes, I want to be saved, and we've trusted Christ as our Savior. But there may be somebody here tonight that hadn't made that decision, or they've made a decision that says, I'll just go on the way I'm going. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't really know if there's a heaven or a hell anyway, and I think I'll just keep on going my same old way. Well, folks, I just want you to know, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And one day you're going to stand before God. One day when you leave this world, and by the way, when you leave this world, your destiny has already been determined. There's not going to be a way out. There's not going to be another chance. When you leave this world, you better have made that decision. I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. Now, God's already made His choice. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, He says that God is not willing that any should perish. Now, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that anybody that wants to get saved can get saved. Anybody, it doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference about your background. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. God says, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son Jesus to die for you on the cross. And if you'll trust Him as your Savior, listen, He'll save you. He'll forgive you of your sins and give you a home in heaven. So God's already made His choice. I hope that you'll choose to trust Christ as your Savior. Second thing I want you to see is that we choose the kind of name that we'll have. We choose the kind of name that we're going to have. In other words, what are you known by? Now, I tell people this all the time, and I know I've told this here, but it's such a good illustration of what God does and how God changes your life. When I was going to school, and people I went to school with, and there was a lady here, hadn't been too long ago, I forget now, it was about just a couple months ago, and I just so happened I'd preached that morning. And so she was coming through the line, her friend was coming through the line, and she's shaking my hand, and she says, "Hey, this lady here says she went to school with you." I thought, oh no, surely not. Why would she have to come the day that I'm preaching, you know? I'm thinking, this is probably not going to be good. I wonder what she thinks or what she knows about me. And so sure enough, she came in and she said, "Hey, I went to school with you." And I said, "Wait a minute, hold it, stop right there. The guy that you went to school with is not the same guy that's standing before you now. Listen, I got saved. God changed my life and changed my direction. I said, I'm not like that anymore. I'm not like I used to be anymore." And if you had asked people, and you know, I guess it would be interesting, but you know, to ask people what they remember about you in high school and those kind of things, I really don't think I would want to know that, but I had a certain name when I was going through high school. I was lost. And I lived and I did anything and everything I wanted to do to please me. And I had a bad name. I know that. But folks, listen, when I got saved, I chose to have a different name. I want to be thought of in a different way. I don't want people to think about me and think about bad things. I want people to think about me, and when they think about me, I want them to think about, hey, there's a man of God. Hey, there's a man that reads his Bible. There's a man that prays. There's a man that loves God. That's what I want people to think. And guess what? That's a choice that each and every one of us has to make. What kind of name what do you want to be remembered by? How do you want people to remember you? Hey, if you were laying in the casket here tonight, and we were walking by, and we were making comments about you, what would people say about you? How would they remember you? What kind of name? What kind of name do you have? Well, Proverbs 22:1 says this: a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, it's better to have a good name. It's better to have a good name than to have all the money in the world. That's what he's telling us here. All right. And then Third thing I want us to see, we choose the kind of the crowd that we're going to run with. I'm going to read a passage of scripture for you. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it for you over in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 24, the Bible says this, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Here was a man named Moses, and he was raised in a palace. And there came a point in his life, there came a time in his life to when he said, "You know what? I can't run with this crowd anymore. These are not my people. These are not my people. I can't run with them anymore. They had a bad testimony. They didn't live for God. They were heathen folks." And I believe maybe that Moses thought to himself, "You know what? If I keep hanging with these folks, if I keep running with these people, if I keep living here in this palace, I may get to the point of no return. I may get to the point to where I like this better than what lays ahead of me." And Moses said, "You know what? I've got to make a choice here. I've got to do something." And he made a choice and he said, "You know what? I would rather suffer with God's people than to live like a king and be with the heathen folks." Now listen, we can't choose the people that we work with. You know, when you go to work, you know, there's people that work around you, you know, they're hired and fired and, you know, move people around and stuff like that. You can't necessarily choose who you're going to work with, but I tell you what, you can choose how close of a friend are you with those people.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what, people, your friends will influence you, young people especially, but even older folks. Listen, older folks have peer pressure too. Do you know that? It's not just young people. Everybody has peer pressure. If you work around the wrong kind of people, if you work at the wrong kind, you know, with the wrong crowd, listen, you just can't be close friends with them. Now, you can be friendly to them, you can witness to them, you can love them, you can talk to them about the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, if you start hanging around people that have a bad testimony, guess what's going to happen? It's going to rub off on you.
Right.
I don't care what you say. You can't convince me different. I know. Listen, I've worked public work for many years. And I know what it's like to work around people that they don't care anything about God. Listen, when I was working public work, the last job I worked, those people, they knew that I was in Bible college, I was studying to be a preacher, and guess what they did? On purpose, every day, they'd come to me. "Hey, Rev, hey, Preach. Hey, you're gonna be a preacher? What do you think about this?" And they just constantly come after you, all the time. What were they trying to do? Well, I don't know. I guess they were trying to have fun and stuff like that, but you know what? They were trying to influence me. They were trying to see what I would do. They were trying to see how I was going to react to what they were doing. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, people around you will influence you. And you got to be careful. That's the reason why you have to choose the right crowd to run with. You have to choose good, godly people. You want to be around folks that are serving God, that want to do something for God, alright? And then, one of the last things here, the last thing is, we choose whom we're going to serve. We choose whom we're going to serve. Joshua said this, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God."
Amen.
Listen, he made the right choice. He made the right decision. By the way, he wasn't saying, "I don't want you to do something that I'm not going to do." He said, Joshua said, "Listen, I've already made this decision. I'm going to serve God, and I want you as my family, I want my family to join with me in this." Listen, I'm going to choose God. I'm going to serve God. I hope you'll do the same. I hope you'll follow with me. Elijah said one day, as he was up on Mount Carmel, and the whole nation of Israel was up there, he said, "Listen, if Baal is your God, if Baal has been better to you than Jehovah God is, then serve him. If God has been good to you, you serve God. Choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve Baal or are you going to serve God?" By the way, we have to face that same thing too, don't we? Are we going to face the world? I mean, are we going to serve the world? Are we going to serve the devil? Or are we going to serve God? Now, listen, I don't believe anybody in here would say, "Well, you know, I think I'll just serve the devil today." I don't think that. But listen, by our actions, we are choosing to serve the world. And we're choosing to follow the ways of the world and the ways of the devil. And folks, listen, I'm telling you, as God's people, we have really got to get our priorities straight. You know, Pastor was talking about about alcohol. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's just one of the big things today. Alcohol, it's okay to drink. So wait a minute, it's not okay to drink. It's okay to drink as long as you drink in moderation. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I just don't believe that's right.
Amen.
Don't believe it's right. I'll never believe it's right.
Amen.
I don't believe it is. I believe the Bible is just so clear on that. But folks, listen. If we give in to that, listen. And by the way, you're talking about peer pressure. You better believe it. You're in a crowd. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's doing this. It's a lot of pressure on you. What are you going to do? Well, I'm telling you, you got to make the right choice. You got to make the right choice. And by the way, it may not be the most fun right there at that point. But I'm going to tell you what. Later on down the road, you're going to be grateful and you're going to be thankful that you made the right choice. Listen, always choose to serve God. Always choose to serve God. Always choose the ways of God. Don't let people influence you to not do that. All right. So let's look at Lot. Let's look at the choices that he made here. There's three things about Lot's choices that I want you to see. One of them, we've kind of talked about one already. But the first thing I want you to see about Lot's choices is Lot's choice involved sight. You see, he looked out here. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes. And listen, when he looked out there, as being a herdsman, he was looking for something. He had a lot of cattle. He had a lot of livestock. And he needed a lot of land. And by the way, if you got livestock, you need water. And so he's looking out there and he's saying to himself, man, look at all that grass. Look at all that water out there. Look at all that wide open space. Listen, I can take my cattle out there. I can take all my herds out there. And man, I can put them out there and they can feed and they can get fat. And you know, what happens when animals get fat and stuff like that? Without saying it, I don't want, you know, for the squeamish people in the crowd. You know what happens when animals get fat? Yeah, everybody has to eat, right? All right, so they're going to get fat, and man, hey, listen, they're going to multiply. They're all this water out there, and I'm telling you, it's just going to be a great place. I'm going to be able to make a ton of money here. By the way, was there anything wrong with having a good place to feed all those animals? Not one thing. Not one thing wrong with that. Not one thing about the water. Not one thing about the wide open space. But you know what? The problem was, there was a place that was on past that pasture that if you looked out there, you would see there was a city out there. And that was where the problem was. See, Lot, I believe not only did Lot see all that good stuff out there, but I believe he looked on down the road and he saw that city down there and he said, you know what, boy, I'm interested in that city. I'm interested in that place. I'm going to take a look at that place one of these days. One of these days, I'm going to head down that way. I'm going to look at that city. And I'm gonna see what's going on down there. It was a good place to raise cattle, but you know what? It was going to be a terrible place to raise his family.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, your family is worth more than all the cattle that you could ever raise.
Amen.
Your family. Your family is worth more money than you'll ever make in your life. Your job, your whatever you got, your house, whatever it is, your family is way more important than that.
Amen.
You see, the only thing that matters in this life is what we do for God and how we influence our family. And Lot was going to make a terrible decision based on money he was going to have to lose his family, or he was going to lose his family as a result of that. I wrote this quote down. I thought it was really good. The eye sees what the heart loves. You know, Lot had been down in Egypt. And the Bible says and gives indication there that, you know, one of the things, you know, being down in Egypt affected Lot. Now, of course, Abraham really was responsible for all of them being down in Egypt. But there was something about Egypt when Lot saw it and his family and, you know, other people saw it there that stayed with them. And Lot made a decision based upon what he could see. Like I said, you know, before, if he'd have been what he should have been, If he would have really thought about this thing, he would have gave Abraham first choice. And he said, Abraham, listen, this is all your land anyway. God's already given it to you. You take whatever peace you want, I'll go the other way. That's what he should have done. He should have prayed. He should have talked to God. He should have asked counsel. He should have done something. He shouldn't have made this decision on his own, but he did. And because of it, it was going to cost him down the road. All right? Second thing I want you to see here is Lot's choice invited sin. It invited sin. Now, the Bible tells us here that he pitched his tent. When he made that direction, when he moved in that direction, the Bible says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom, wherever Sodom was at, in his area here. He pitched his tent to where when he opened up the door and he walked out and he stood, there was Sodom. Every day when he got up. Every day when he got up, he walked outside. He opened up that flap. He looked outside. There was Sodom. Every time he looked out there, Sodom. Sodom. Now we understand what Sodom's all about, don't we? Everybody with me on that? It was a wicked, ungodly place that nobody really, you should avoid this place like the plague, because it was a plague. You shouldn't be anywhere around this place. But every day, Lot saw this thing. He pitched his tent that way, in that direction. In other words, he moved his direction that way. So he saw this thing every single day. And if that's not bad enough, the Bible tells us as we go on through here, we won't take time to go through the scripture here, but every time you read something different about Lot, not only did he pitch his tent toward Sodom, but the next time you think about Lot, you see that he's living in Sodom. Now, you see, it started off, no doubt, he started off, he said, well, I'm not ever going to be down there. I'm not ever going to put my family down there. I'm not ever going to live there or nothing. I'm just going to go that direction. I'm just going to have my tent in that direction. But the next time you see him, like I said, he's living in Sodom. He's there. Guess what happened? Guess what happened when he started living in Sodom? The people around him, the people that he was in contact with, the crowd that he's running with, is influencing him in the wrong way. Guess what? Not only is it influencing him, but it's influencing his whole family. His whole family is going to be involved in this, and his whole family is going to be devastated because of the choice that he made to pitch his tent toward Sodom. He's living in Sodom now. And now not only is he living in Sodom, but the Bible says that he had a house in Sodom, and he's now sitting at the gate as one of the officials of Sodom. And so he was so well liked there that they elevated him. They gave him a place of authority. And he sat at the gate. And he made decisions for this city, for this place. You know what we could say about this? You know the easiest way, to sum it up, a sentence that we could say for Lot here, what he did. He just made it easy to sin. He made it easy to sin. And folks, can I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll do that same thing. We'll leave ourselves open to sin. We'll make it easy to sin. It's not that, hey, I'm just going to jump right in it, with both feet. No, we just make it easy to sin. We just leave the door open a little bit. And the next thing you know, not only have we opened up the door, now we've walked through it, and now we're living there. And folks, let me just tell you, it starts sin, getting away from God. Making these decisions starts with just a little thing of not closing the door on that sin. Don't make it easy to sin. Don't make it easy. Put up barriers in your life to protect you, to keep you away from sin. Folks, listen, every one of us are tempted with sin regularly, on a daily basis probably. I mean, we're tempted all the time. The devil is going to do everything he can to get you to sin. That's it. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to sin. He wants you to look at whatever he set before you here. He wants you to desire whatever he has set before you here. And he's, all he's looking for is just a little bitty crack in the door. And if he can get that crack in the door, guess what? He's just going to keep putting more in front of you. More in front of you. Young folks, can I tell you one of the most dangerous things That can happen to young folks when they start liking each other and they start dating and they start getting together and hanging out together. They don't put up, if you don't put up barriers there, if you're not careful, something bad will happen. And the devil will use something there and it'll ruin your life. Don't do that. Don't do that. Set up barriers. Do you know, young folks, can I just tell you, if you're never alone by yourself, you'll never have to worry about those kind of things. If you're never alone by yourself, you won't have to worry about it. Now, I know that's not, you know, that's not the cool thing to do, the coolest thing to do. That's not what everybody else is doing. You just go on and on. But it just depends on what you're going to do. What do you want to do? How do you want your life to turn out? Do you want your life to be what God wants it to be? Or do you want to make those decisions for yourself based on what you can see? Folks, can I tell you, Lot's choice, it invited sin. Can I tell you something about sin? We've all heard this. I've always thought this was whoever made this up. He just nailed it. This is about sin. You ever heard this? Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how a little sin? I mean, it's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. I did it one time. I'm never going to do it again. You ever heard that? You ever said that? I'm not ever going to do that again. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll take you places you never dreamed that you would go. You know how I know that? I've been there. I've been there. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. You look around, you think to yourself, "Man, I'm just going to do this one time. I'm not going to let it dominate my life." Next thing you know, you turn around and years have already passed, and you're still doing the same thing. You're still in that same sin. You know, sin has a way. It has a way of just sinking its claws in. And just gripping and holding on. And you know, there's people that get involved in sin, and I believe they're saved people, but sin gets such a hold on them they never turn it loose. I've seen sin take people all the way to the grave. I've seen sin get a hold on people and would not let them go. Now, by the way, can I just tell you, it's not the sin's fault. Right? It's not that the sin overpowered them and they didn't have any control over it. When I say this, sin is a choice that we make. Sin's a choice that we make. By the way, if you sin, we sin, you can't blame the devil and say it's the devil's fault. It's not the devil's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. If you sin, if I sin, it is my choice to sin, nobody else's. And by the way, my Bible tells me that God can deliver us from any and all sin. Amen. Any sin. I don't care what it is. By the way, not only can He deliver you from it, He can forgive you of it.
Amen.
And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin does not have to have a grip on us. Does not. And we don't have to let sin dominate our life. And it doesn't have to do that. But listen, Lot's choice invited sin. Oh, well, let me give you the last one there about sin. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. You know, sin at the beginning, it looks like it's so much fun. This is so much fun. I'm having such a great time. But you know what happens? It's kind of like that credit card. You know, isn't it fun to take a piece of plastic and tap a machine? Pow! You just tap it. Boom! It's yours. Take it home with you. Put it in the cart. Hey, you need some help? I'll help you take that out to your car. It's so big. It's so much stuff. You'll need some help. You want me to deliver it to your house? I can do that. Siri, could you order me this from Amazon? Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to. And they just, next thing you know, ding dong, there it is. It's sitting there at the door. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? You know, the bad part about having all that fun is at the end of the month, they do this, the most foolish thing. You go out to the mailbox and he opened, "Honey, did you order all this stuff?" You have to pay for it, don't you? You have to pay for it. It's fun while you're doing it. It's fun ordering. It's fun doing all that stuff. But I tell you what, when the bill comes, there's no fun in that. Amen. There's no fun in that bill. Sin always costs you more than you want to pay. Lot's choice, this is the last thing. Lot's choice included sorrow. It involved his sight. It invited sin. It included his sorrow. He lost his testimony. You know, Lot, the name that Lot had when he went in there was a lot different than when he came out. Boy, he had a terrible name on the way out. He had no testimony whatsoever. He went to his own family. He went to his own family and he told them, he said, "God has told me that He's going to come and He's going to judge this city. God's told me this. He's going to judge this city. We need to pack our bags. We need to get everything we got and we need to get out of here quick." The Bible says that they laughed at him. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They didn't believe him. They thought to himself, "Well, what are you talking about, old man? What are you talking about? Who do you think you are? Are you preaching to us?" He lost his testimony. He lost his standards. And we know, and we won't mention the things that Lot, you know, the things that happened to Lot and the things that took place in Lot's life after that. Man, he lost every standard he had. He had no morals after that. After the time that can you imagine what Lot saw and Lot was witness to every single day of his life as he walked up and down those streets? We read about it here, some of the things that happened in this terrible place, in this city. Unbelievable things. We couldn't imagine. Lot was there, and he saw those things. He saw stuff like that all the time. He lost his standards. And you know what? The worst thing of all, Lot lost his family. He lost his family. He lost. Even though he got two girls out. He did get those out. He got them out. They got out. But they had so much of Sodom in them, I don't know that he ever got Sodom out of them. He lost everything. What he thought was so important, what he thought was so valuable, he lost every bit of it when he left. You know what? When he went in, he was full. He had it all. When he came out, you know what he took out? Absolutely nothing. Just the clothes on his back. He lost it all. How did that happen? He made a choice. He made a choice that left God out of this decision. He left God out. And because of that, he lost everything that he had. Folks, listen, can I just tell you, be wise. Be cautious in decisions that you make. Let God lead you. Let God have control of your life. Let God be the one that gives direction to your life. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Let God give you wisdom. Let God give you direction for your life. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come before You here this evening,